somewhere in the world today. Men have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. It's Open Line Friday, Get It Off Your Chest Day. Really, whatever's on your mind, express yourself day. Amazing. Open Line Friday, Get It Off Your Chest Day. Whatever's on your mind, express yourself day. 888-775-3773. We got to get James to come back. Maybe I get a wheelchair or something and roll him back in here, because everything is falling apart. The black guys cannot handle it. It's just the way it is. They are nice guys. They mean well, but it's just not in the gene. And it's not frustrating, but it's distracting to have to worry about those things too. But I'll get James in here Monday morning in a wheelchair. This is the last day for my biblical question. I'll respond to it on Sunday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, if we lose freedom here, is there anywhere else to go? If we lose freedom here, is there anywhere else to go? I want to know. And the reason I ask is that, yes, more and more people started to speak up under this president because they recognize his courage. But the Democrats, the liberal media, the right-o Republicans, the Never Trumpers don't care. They don't care. They are pushing forward to turn America into a socialist society. It is madness to see what's happening in my country. And I realize that the Democrats, they don't care that you know that they're lying. They don't care that you know that they are promising you free stuff in order to get your vote. They don't care that you know that there are Muslims in our government that hate America and hate Israel. They don't care. And they used to hide these things, right? Normally, they were ashamed to be wrong. The shame is gone in the Democratic Party. They don't care that you know that there are Muslims in Congress that hate America and hate Israel. They don't care that you know that there are women, at least one for sure, maybe more, living with a man unmarried and a airhead, has no idea what she's talking about. They don't care that you know there's a woman in there who, I think she married some guy, already had a baby by someone else. Those things used to be embarrassing. Some lesbian in Congress, they don't care anymore because they have corrupted the young millennials. And it's the young millennials that they're dependent on for votes now. Elizabeth Warren is an evil, dirty, nasty woman and doesn't care that you know that. She's a liar. Doesn't care that you know that nowadays. It's mind-blowing what's happening in the country. They don't care that you know that they hate men and boys, that they are willing to kill children inside the womb of the woman. They want to do it. Even at the ninth month, the baby head popping out, the baby come out alive. If the woman decides to kill the baby, fine. The man has no say-so. They don't care that they are destroying America. It's mind-blowing. They don't care that you know and see that they hate the president because he's a good man. He put America first. They lie. They don't care about the fact that illegal aliens are coming in and killing American citizens. I just heard a story this morning where an illegal alien was on drugs or something, and he broke into a home and killed people. He was charged with killing the people of that home in order to get money to get drugs. So the Democratic Party don't care that you know that they don't care about your life. They don't care about the illegal aliens, that they will put your life at risk, get you killed in order to get the vote, maintain the power. They're letting you know that they lied to you about the border. They tell you it's not right that we need a wall around the borders, and you have dumb people going around repeating that. Like, you don't know, common sense doesn't dictate that, yes, you put a wall around the borders, you keep troops on the borders to stop illegal aliens from coming from these asshole countries and killing you and getting free stuff. It's weird what's going on right now. It's really mind-blowing. It's amazing. And that nasty woman, black woman, Kamala Harris, we don't know if she's white or black. Her mom is white. She's married to a white man, but she pretends to care about black people by giving them free pot and free stuff. They don't care that you know that they're legalizing pot to not only demoralize you, but to dumb you down with drugs so that you don't think clearly and vote for them. They can lie to you. We need families back, folks. We need to rebuild the family. Men need to come back to their natural state of being, get married, and guide their wives and children in the right way to go. It's so bad with the colleges that conservatives have been literally prevented from speaking at them. You pay taxes for it. They don't care if the lying liberals go in and speak, the radical homosexuals, the radical nasty Black Lives Matter go in, an organization that was founded by black lesbians and black homosexuals and dirty, evil white liberals. They go in and speak with your tax dollars and my tax dollars. But if a conservative go, they are not allowed. To the point that President Trump, the great white hope, signed an executive order on Thursday aimed to ensure that college campuses will continue to uphold free speech for everyone. You think Obama would have done that? No. Obama's worse than Black Lives Matter. Obama and Black Lives Matter are worse than the KKK. Black was safer with the KKK than they are with Black Lives Matter and people like Obama and Big Mama Michelle and the whole so-called civil rights leaders. Look at black, you hear the black men calling here, some of the black women. They're not free thinkers. The men sound like women. They're not standing up and saying, no, this is wrong, ladies. We got to do it right. They sound like complaining, lying women who want something free. They're just like their mothers. This order that the president signed is in response to growing concern from conservative voters who have realized that colleges and universities have become too liberal and anti-conservative. This executive order threatened to withhold billions of dollars in research funding if the colleges are unable to cooperate with maintaining free speech. It's interesting, speaking of free speech, conservatives and Christians and white men are losing free speech while liberals, blacks, whites, Muslims, radical homosexuals, all the dirty people are maintaining free speech for themselves. They can accuse you. They can lie. They can say whatever they want about you and get away with it. No loss of jobs, no loss of businesses, nothing. But if a conservative Christian or white person did it, it's over. And the white people, the Christians and the conservatives take it. As a matter of fact, when the left jump on conservatives and Christians, the so-called right help the left destroy you. Or at least try to. I realize also that if you love what's right more than anything else, with all your heart, soul, and might, that you love God, and that is first in your life. If these children of the lie take your wealth away, your job away, they can't take your life away. They can't take your perfect peace. And so you got to learn to let seeking the kingdom of God and what's right be the most important thing. Then when they come after you, you can stand up to them. Because when one door closes, another will open. God is in control of all things, and he definitely loves his children, and not all people are children of God. He loves his children, both boys and girls, men and women. He'll take care of you, but you got to let him be first and not Satan. This is from C-SPAN / USA Today. The president's opening statement about the funding of his universities. And free speech.
Today we're delivering a clear message to the professors and power structures trying to suppress dissent and keep young Americans and all Americans, not just young Americans, like Ellen and Caitlin and Polly from challenging rigid far-left ideology. People who are confident in their beliefs do not censor others. We don't want to censor others. They welcome free, fair, and open debate, and that's what we're demanding.
That's right. And there are, believe it or not, folks, there are conservative men and women who are starting to turn on the president because he's not doing it fast enough. He's not doing what they want, they think. They have not realized the pressure and the anti-American force, not only in this country, around the world, that's against this president. And yet, he's steadfast in what he's doing. And the people who are turning on the president can't even handle the little things in their own lives. And if they had the president's job, they would have given it a long time ago. President Trump said these institutions were anti-First Amendment.
But even as universities have received billions and billions of dollars from taxpayers, many have become increasingly hostile to free speech and to the First Amendment. You see it all the time. You turn on the news and you see things that are horrible. You see people being punched hard in the face.
Yep.
But he didn't go down. Taxpayer dollars should not subsidize anti-First Amendment institutions. And that's exactly what they are, anti-First Amendment. Universities that want taxpayer dollars should promote free speech, not silence free speech.
Amazing. I love this one, this next soundbite where the president encourages young Americans and students to continue to speak up for what is right.
To every student and young American here today, don't let anyone stop you from doing what you know is right, from asking questions, from challenging the powerful, or from speaking your mind. And that's the primary reason we're here right now. You're going to speak your mind. You're going to be fair. You're going to be reasonable. You're going to do it well. And you're going to speak your mind.
That's right.
Never, ever quit.
That's right.
Never give in. And never back down. Keep standing up for your values, for your classmates, and for your country.
That is so true, folks. Because when you back down just a little, you're giving them the authority over you. If you notice the children of the lie, don't back down. And the reason they don't back down because they keep on pushing and intimidating you because you're backing down. You got to stop backing down. The truth is greater than the lie. It has more power, more force than the lie, but you back down and you don't know it. Look at the president not backing down. Trump believes this executive order will make life on college campuses easier.
You have just a tremendous future ahead of you, and this will make it a lot easier. And you get that point of view across. And listen to the other point of view. Maybe you can be changed and maybe not. I doubt it. But ultimately, right. It brings people together. So congratulations. I'll sign right now.
Amazing. And I want to warn you, you can listen to the lying media, the lying Democrats, the lying Republicans, rhinos, and allow this man to be voted out. You're going to pay in ways that you can't even imagine. Remember what happened when the fallen Messiah was in the White House. It was all hell to pay. There were points when most Americans thought we could never get our country back. That was over for the people of good. Now you're having a chance. This man, this great white hope, has proven himself. And think about it. Come 2020, you listen to the media, you listen to these lying, whiny, godless, dirty Democrats. It's over for you folks, especially the Christians, white people, and especially white straight people. And even if the white non-straight people should speak out against the people of color, it's over. Look how afraid the Democrats are of that black Muslim woman in Congress right now. This woman, Omar, she hates America and she hates Israel. And now the rest of the Democratic Party got to go along with her. Even if they don't agree, they still have to go along with her. They're afraid. And whites are especially afraid of colors, the colored people. Wake up, America. Speak up before it's all gone. And my question, my biblical question, if we lose freedom here, is there anywhere else to go? Is there anywhere else to go? Mark is the first time call out of Texas. Mark, get it off your chest.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm fine. Well, I have a question. See, like, I'm a Christian myself, and I hear a lot of other Christians saying it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage. Do you agree with that?
100%.
The thing is, like,
do you agree with it?
I'm Catholic.
Do you agree that it's wrong to have sex out of wedlock?
Yeah, kind of. But thing is, everybody does it. But every time I do it, I repent. After every time I do it.
Well, you must be repenting every day.
I do repent every day. Because, I literally have sex every day, but I repent.
So you're addicted to sex.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And so, Mark, why do you believe that it's right to have sex out of wedlock? If you're a Christian.
I didn't say it's right, but the thing is, I'm just so addicted to it. I can't stop doing it.
What? How old are you?
Oh, I'm 19. I just graduated high school last year.
Oh, I see. And do you want to get control of that?
Yes, I do.
And why do you want to get control of that?
Because I heard that people who do that go to hell, but I don't want to go to hell.
You're already in hell.
I mean, when I die, I don't want to go with the devil.
But you're already in hell with the devil. Anyone who is out of control is in hell already.
Okay. Well, it's another question I have for you.
But let me, go ahead.
It's like, a while back, it was like when I was 13, it was like this woman who, like, suddenly her uncle had married my cousin, and then we were dating, but she wasn't my real cousin. Like, was it wrong for me to date her?
You say you were dating a woman that was your cousin?
She was my cousin by marriage. Just her uncle married my cousin, but we weren't blood relatives.
And you say you're 19, you're 17. How old are you right now?
19.
You're 19. So you dated a woman. Was she older than you?
And she was 37 and I was 13.
You're 13, dated a 37-year-old woman?
Yes.
That's rape.
I made the first move on her, though.
But it's still rape. That woman is too old to be dating you. You're underage.
Then I lied to her about my age. I thought I was 21 because...
So what?
I actually was older than I really am. So I told her I was 21, and she believed it.
She want to believe it. If you 13 years old, there's no way you look 21.
Yeah, I did. She believed it when she looked at me.
And when she found out that you were 13, did she stop?
No, I actually broke up with her because I didn't want her to go to jail. So I broke up with her before she found out.
And so this was your uncle's cousin?
No, her uncle married my cousin.
Amazing.
It's somebody in her family married somebody in my family.
What? You know that you were dating your mama, right? The 30-year-old woman was your mama, right? You realize you were having sex with your mama, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Yes, you were. Why else would you date an older woman? Every man that's dating an older woman and have sex with her is dated and having sex with their mama.
The thing is, these females around my age, it's like they're...
Hold on, buddy. Hold on. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, tweet, and share the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. All right. We had an amazing meeting last night with the Women's Forum. I'll tell you about that as we move forward today. But I got to go back to the phones. Mark, it's a first time call out of Texas. So, Mark, you addicted to sex. You're 13 years old, dating a 30-something-year-old woman, right?
Yes, sir.
And so are you still living with your mother?
Oh, I live with both my parents and my brother.
And how old is your brother?
He's 22.
Why are you guys still at home?
Well, the thing is, we have jobs, but we don't make enough to get our own place.
But why not get a second job or a third job to get your own place? Why not move out so you can become a man?
Oh, I'm in college right now.
Well, that's not a reason to be living at home.
But then I can't get a second job because of school.
No, you can't get a second job because you won't get one. School is not stopping you from getting a second job. And you're into sex. But anyway, do you want to overcome being addicted to sex?
Yes.
You got to forgive your mother and move away from her because you're having...
The thing is, I had sex with 7,897 women.
Are you telling the truth? Is that a joke?
Yes, I'm telling the truth.
And why? You hate your mother, man, I'm telling you. And you're trying to get...
Oh, I don't hate my mother.
Yes, you do. And you're trying to get something from women that they don't have. They don't have love to give you. And sex is not love. You're addicted to sex because you resent your mother. Your mother ruled your household, and you resent her for it. Your father too weak to protect you guys from her.
Oh, but,
Is that true?
I have a good relationship with my mother, though.
No, you don't. If you had a good relationship or the right relationship with your mother, you would not be at home at 19. And you would not be having sex with that many women and older women like that either. You would wait until marriage. You would be out on your own. And college would not be an excuse. That's what women use. Girls who go to college say they live with their parents because they're going to college. Boys don't say that.
But when I first started having sex, I didn't know that it was a sin to have sex outside of marriage. When I first started having sex,
how old were you when you first started?
Well, the first time I had sex was with a 37-year-old woman when I was 13.
Wow! Did she seduce you, or you seduce her?
Oh, she made the first move.
You know that woman messed you up. She traumatized you. And that's why you're addicted to sex, too. You've been traumatized. 13-year-old boys ain't got no business having sex.
But it's like everybody at my school did it. Everybody went to high school with did it.
You had a black school?
Yes, not all black, just blacks and Mexicans.
See,
no,
well, no wonder.
And we had some Asians here and there as well.
And so you really had sex with 7,000 women?
Yes, sir.
How do you have sex with 7,000 women? Where do you get them from?
I just do it all day with different women every time. But then I have a policy: never have sex with the same woman more than once.
Do you want to overcome
that's
this,
a
or you?
I follow.
I got to run, but do you want to overcome this, or you want to stay that way?
I want to overcome it.
Why do you want to overcome it?
Because I want God to actually smile on me instead of looking down on me for what I'm doing currently.
Well, God is not looking down on you for doing it. He's just letting you suffer. Satan is the one who got you into it, doing it. Your only way out, man, you got to realize you're wrong, and you got to let that woman know you forgive her for what she done to you, and forgive your mother for traumatizing you, and then God will forgive you, and you can deal with women in the right way. You won't be addicted to sex.
Okay. Well, can I call you back tomorrow?
Yeah, you can. You call me tomorrow, even though I won't be here.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Amazing. 7,000 is 3 women a day for 9 years. I guess it is possible then. Isn't that amazing?
But how do you find 3 different women?
Well, if you had a black school, you go to a black school.
Maybe that might
black
be facts.
Black girls and women are into sex like nobody going to know them.
That might be facts.
Yep. And they don't care how old you are or anything, because they're looking for love. They've been failed. Their parents have let them down, have failed them. That's why they're into it.
But you got to have a waiting list. You got to have a system to do 7,000.
With 3 women
a day.
A day. That's for 9 years, so he's 19.
Right, but he ain't never did no homework. He ain't never did.
Black people don't have to do homework. They have affirmative action. The schools are going to pass you anyway. It's just the way it is nowadays. Blacks don't have to be responsible for anything, and they are not responsible for anything, and people make them feel good about being wrong. So they're like, oh, I'm a victim. Give me some sex. Amazing.
I guess.
The men have let the women and children down, and now they've gone out of control. Women cannot lead children in the right way to go. It doesn't work that way. Brandy is a first-time call out of Texas. Brandy, get it off your chest.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All is well.
Awesome. I have been listening to you for a couple of weeks. My brother introduced me to you.
Right on.
He's been listening to you. So I've heard you a couple times talk about how it's not manly for men to have emotions.
Right.
And specifically for men, it's not normal for men to have anger.
Right. The anger of a man, the anger of a man is that of a woman. When I see my black staff around here getting angry and carrying on, I literally see women in them. And they're so addicted to it that they don't realize they're literally acting like women. They look, when I'm looking at them, I'm looking at a woman. It's like something else come to the forefront. And go ahead.
But my question for you is, you know, if we were made in God's image, if man was made in God's image and God gets angry, how is that, you know, something of a female?
That's such a good question. You just hit the best question I've ever been asked, I think. Men are made in the image of God. Women are made in the image of men. And God made man perfect. He wasn't an emotional person. But what happens is when he's born into the world through his mother, he's born into sin. The mother's angry. Father and mothers are fighting. And mothers are imposing their will on the children, trying to make them go to college or be perfect or do what she wants them to do. And the moment the kids become angry at that, they are recreated in the image of the mother, no longer the image of God. And so that's why they become angry, because the mother recreate them in her image. And so they take on the mindset, the emotions of a woman. So that's how it changes into that. But men are not born naturally with anger.
So even though
and God was not
including anger,
God was not angry. God never gets angry. He's perfect love. So he never get angry. And his son, Christ, did not get angry as well. That's been made up in the Bible to deceive you. That would be a contradiction. You can't be a perfect love and be angry. Do you realize that you become like what you hate, or what you're angry at, so whomever you're angry at? So when boys and girls become angry at their mothers, they become like their mothers. Did you know that?
I think I agree with that for the most part, but I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible completely.
Why?
Why do I believe in the Bible?
Yes.
Because I believe that God gave it to us as a direction for life.
And why do you believe in it, though?
Why do I believe in it?
Yes.
I think I believe in it. Well, I know I believe in it because God is communicating with us through it. That's how he talks to us.
That's the only way he communicates with you?
Is that the only way he communicates with me?
Yeah, what
no.
made you think that
no,
God...
No, that's not the only way, but I think that he gave it to us for a reason.
But what other way does he communicate with you?
What other way does he communicate with me?
Yes.
Through my everyday experience in life, like when I pray, you know, he gives me answers to my prayer. That I feel like that's communication from him.
Is believing in the Bible, is that working for you?
Believing in the Bible, is that working for me? Yes.
In what way?
Absolutely.
You have perfect
peace?
In what
way?
Do you have perfect
peace? Do I have perfect peace?
Yes.
I would not say I have perfect peace. I'm working on that.
And did Christ come that you might have perfect peace?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did Christ come that you might have perfect peace?
Did Christ come that I might have perfect peace? I don't think so. I don't think that Christ came to give me perfect peace.
It says
I think God sent Christ so I can have salvation.
Is salvation perfect peace?
Is salvation perfect peace?
Yes.
Yes.
And so do you have salvation?
Do I have salvation? Yes, I do.
Then why don't you have perfect peace?
That's a good question. Why do I not have perfect peace if I have salvation? I think I'd have to think about that. That is a good question. But because I believe in the Bible, you know, that it makes me think about what you say about men having anger, because why do you not believe in the Bible?
Why do I not believe in the Bible?
Yes.
Because God said to only have faith in him.
And is the Bible not from him?
It's from him in that, in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, he gave men wise words to write in the Bible that they may point you back to him. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to believe in the Bible. It only says to only have faith in God, nobody else or nothing else, but only God. Have
but
you noticed that?
God is the Word.
And in the Bible, it said that he did come to bring perfect peace. Christ did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you believe that part of the Bible?
I believe about the perfect peace?
Yes.
I believe it now because I have perfect peace and I've had it 30 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. So let me ask you this. Because I think what you're doing.
Well, I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to find out why do you believe in it? It doesn't tell you in the Bible to have faith in the Bible. Why are you having faith in the Bible if it doesn't tell you that?
Because God says God is the Word.
I'm sorry?
because God is the Word.
But the Bible is not the Word.
I guess I would have to think about that. That doesn't mean I've changed my mind.
I'm not trying to change your mind at all. I'm just conversing with you, responding back and forth. So I'm not trying to convince you of anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that even, well, that's a good question, why I believe in the Bible. But
and
I guess I would have to think about it.
Why have you thought of that before now? I believe in the Bible? Why have you thought about that?
Well, I have thought about it. I guess I just don't have the words to communicate why I believe in. I have faith in God, so I guess I just have faith that God gave me the Bible as my direction in life. I don't believe the Bible has any contradiction in it at all.
Why do you think
I have
you
not
have
found any contradiction?
Why
in
do
it?
You think you have faith in God?
Why do I have faith in God?
No, why do you think you have faith?
Why do I think I have faith in God?
Why do you think you have faith in God?
I don't think I have faith in God. I know I have faith in God.
How do you know you have faith in God?
Because I trust him. I trust him.
Trust him to do what?
I see how he works in my life.
Trust him to do what?
I trust him to be the God he says he is.
Oh. Do you sin?
Yes, I do sin.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am a Christian.
And if you're sinning, why do you think you're a Christian and have faith in God?
Because everybody sins.
No, everybody doesn't sin. How do you know everybody sinned?
Because, again, I believe in the Bible, and the Bible talks about how nobody is perfect. Everyone sins.
But the Bible tells you to be perfect.
The Bible tells me to, you know, strive to live a life after
Christ. It doesn't say strive.
It
doesn't say strive. It says be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be holy as your Father is holy. It doesn't say strive. Where do you get the strive word from?
Maybe you're correct. Maybe it doesn't say strive to be perfect. But
so how did you come up with that word, strive?
Maybe it was something that I've heard or learned through the years and not something I actually read. Maybe it's something that's just kind of been implanted in me.
Why do you think you are of God if you still sin? People who sin are of their father, the devil. That's why God sent Christ.
Because I'm born again. Because I was.
But why do you think you're born again if you're still sinning?
Why? Say that again. Why do I think?
Why do you think you're born again if you're still sinning? You were sinning before you were born again. And after born again, you're still sinning. Why do you think you're born again if you're still doing the same thing you were doing prior to being born again?
Why do I think I was born again if I'm still sinning? I guess that's a confusing question to me because I think that
why is it
even
confusing?
Though I'm still,
what's confusing about the question?
Because I think that even though I'm born again, even if I sin, that God's grace covers that.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Not if you've been born again. You're not a child of God. The reason for being born again, because all those who are sinning are children of the lie of Satan, and you must be born again to become a son or daughter of God. And so if you're still sinning, you're still a daughter of Satan, not of God.
So then you're a perfect human being. You are. Jesse Lee Peterson is perfect.
Right.
You don't sin. You don't make any mistakes whatsoever.
I don't sin, but I make mistakes. And a mistake is not a sin.
A mistake is not a sin.
Right.
So you don't sin at all?
No.
Never, ever.
I have sinned. That's
so
why.
How do you know what a sin is?
I have sinned.
How do you know what a sin is?
I have sinned. That's why I repented, so that I could be born again. And once I was born again, I no longer sin.
Mm-hmm. How do you know what sin is?
Because God allowed me to see what it is.
How did God allow you to see what sin is?
By showing it to me.
How did he show you? That's what I want to know.
I asked him to let me see what is wrong, what was wrong with me.
And how? What did you see when you asked him that? Like, did he give you a vision?
He allowed me to see that I was playing God by judging others, by resenting my parents and being angry. And in being angry, I was playing God, because anger is judgment, it's pride, it's the ego, it's the nature of Satan. So I was playing God, and he allowed me to see that I needed to forgive so that he can forgive me and bring me out of that father state back into his kingdom.
Okay, that makes sense. But, like, I still don't understand, what's your definition of a sin? Like, do you believe cursing is a sin? Did he tell you every sin? Like, when you asked him to show you what sin is, did he say, Jesse, this is a sin, this is a sin, this is a sin?
Sin is playing God.
Sin is playing God.
Yeah, when you know how when your anger come out?
Yes.
You're playing God. And you're judging your fellow man. Are you married?
I am married.
You're judging your husband. When you get angry at him, you're playing God. And that's the sin. You're not God, and you don't have a right to get angry at anyone, because you're no better than the people that you're getting angry at or the person.
So I guess then every sin comes down to playing God.
The sin is playing God, and once you realize that you're
playing God.
Once you realize that you're not God, and by judging yourself and others, and you know that that's wrong, and you forgive, then God will forgive you and bring you back into your natural state of being.
Okay, so like a lot of Christians think that cursing is a sin. Do you believe cursing is a sin?
No, it's not.
Cursing is not a sin.
It's not a sin.
Okay.
Playing God is a sin. Being angry is a sin. Judging, playing God, having opinions, and all the stuff that, you know, that you're using to drive your husband crazy.
Okay. Real quick, let me just ask you this.
How do your husband deal with you with all that anger?
He doesn't. He's a beta male. And you know, I agree, you know, to a large extent that he needs to forgive his mother and his father, but his father passed away. How do you suggest he forgives his father when he's dead?
By realizing that his father was married to his mother, just as he is married to his mother, and he can handle his wife. And so he caved in and allowed his mother to destroy him. Just as
he just needs to realize that within himself.
And that his father, just as he can't help himself, he can't deal with you properly because he's married to his mother, his father couldn't handle his mother, so he couldn't help himself. If he could have done better, he would have. But instead of you focusing on your husband, you need to focus on you and go and forgive your mother.
Oh, I have.
And you went to her?
Yeah.
And did you forgive your father too?
Yes.
What did your mother say when you told her what she had done to you and you resented her for it?
She said that she knew and...
Amazing.
Pretty much thank you for forgiving her.
She thanked you for forgiving her?
Yeah.
Why did she know that she was screwing you up and did it anyway?
I don't think she knew.
You said that she knew.
No, she said, thank you for forgiving her. She didn't say, I knew I was.
You said she said that she knew and thanked you for forgiving her.
Oh, no, I didn't say she knew.
Did she say she said she knew? You said, I asked, what did your mother say? And you said, she said that she knew and thanked you for forgiving her.
She knew? Oh, I didn't think I said that.
And so, did you forgive your mother?
Yeah, I forgave my mother.
And did you forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother?
I forgave my father for not being there, yeah.
For not protecting you from your mother?
Yeah, I forgave him for that, too.
So then why are you still so mean to your husband?
Because I'm still learning.
No, it's not about learning. Once you truly forgive, God would take that spirit away from you, and then you just live. Living is not about learning. Living is about being. Are you doing my silent prayer?
No, I've not listened to that yet.
Do the silent prayer, Brandy, and call me back in a week.
Okay.
And do it morning and night. And apologize to your husband for being his mama.
And, I will.
And for judging him. And you have children?
I have one child.
A boy or girl?
A boy.
How old is he?
He's 4.
Oh, man. Hurry up and forgive your husband because you're going to screw up the boy, too.
Okay, I will.
Brandon, you're a nice lady. Call me again.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Thank your brother for introducing you to the show.
I sure will.
Okay. Thank you. Amazing. Mind-blowing. Rocky is a first-time caller out of New York. Rocky, get it off your chest.
Hi, I'm Jesse. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Are you on a speakerphone or something?
No, I'm on my handheld. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, you got to take it off.
Can you hear me better?
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
So, I think you answered a couple of my questions when you were just speaking with Brandy. But I guess another question I did have, because we both have to forgive our parents, and
yes.
That's my husband and myself.
Yes.
And I guess I need to forgive my husband because I have 3 boys. And I'm noticing, like, with my youngest, that he is starting to take on more of my behavior.
Right.
So, you know, like when my mother would say something to me like, oh, my God, he's just like you.
Right.
How you were when you were, you know, like a complainer, a whiner, you know, very sensitive. But yet also has aggression.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think what it is that by the time I got to the 3rd one, I'm tired, you know? So, you know, the patience that I had with the 1st 2 is not there. So I'm just trying to, you know, work on that, how to correct that so that I don't ruin them. You know what I mean? And allow them to grow into healthy men that they should be.
And when you say you need to forgive your husband, what do you need to forgive him for?
Oh, just his behaviors. We've been, this year we'll make 20 years that we've been married. We got married very young. I was 21. And, you know, we kind of grew up together. So we've been through everything that you can imagine. Infidelity, you know, lying and, you know, all types of stuff. So I think, you know, I would think I forgive for certain, you know, you think you forgive someone, and then when something happens again, it brings back everything that you thought you forgave in the past, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I never forgave you.
So you cheated on your husband, or he cheated on you?
Oh, he did it to me, but there was a point, like, we separated, and I did see someone else.
And so you cheated, so during the separation, you cheated on your husband?
Yes, that you can call it that because we were still married, yes.
Does he know about that?
Yes.
And he cheated on you during the separation?
Oh, yeah, even before that. That's what caused me to separate.
And how did you find out he had cheated?
Oh, because I'm a detective. Yeah, so you could call me Nancy Drew. Yeah, that's basically how, because he was sloppy. So, you know,
but why
it wasn't hard to figure it out.
But why are you judging him for cheating when you cheated yourself?
Well, he cheated first. That's why I judged him.
But that's once you went and cheated on him, mm-hmm. Why are you still judging him?
Oh, I don't want to. I can't help it because I guess, you know, I'm in that fallen state.
Yeah. Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
So, I have not directly said to her that I have forgiven her.
Why not?
It's a touchy situation.
What do you mean by touchy?
Okay, so she remarried when I was young.
Amazing.
You know, she got with my stepfather.
Terrible.
She broke up with my father. They were married, so she got divorced. And then I never liked my stepfather.
Right.
I thought he was a creep. And, you know, I revealed some information to her, like, when I got into probably, like by age 19, 20, about him. And she didn't leave him. So you know, I was very angry with her for a very long time. And then I just got over it, like, once I started my own life outside of her house.
But you're not over it. You're not over it. It's still with you.
No, I'm not. No, yeah. I'm not.
You cannot. But, you know, you can't get over with it. You can't get over it until you realize, yes, it was wrong for what they both did, but you're wrong for being angry about it, resenting them. And that's where your pain is coming from not forgiving. Because your body healed, but your soul cannot heal until you forgive.
Right.
So you got to go and deal with her.
Yeah, I do. I do have to forgive her, and I need to forgive my father. And
what did your father do to you?
He was the reason why him and my mother broke up is because he was an alcoholic, not keeping, you know, his commitment to the, you know, not making the home a priority. So they used to argue and they broke up. But then I felt like he kind of left me because at age, I want to say, probably like before, like around 12.
Come back 11, to the phone. Come back to the phone for me. But your father, tell me what your father did to you. You haven't told me anything he did to you.
I felt abandoned.
But your father didn't abandon you. He abandoned your mother. He couldn't handle her. Who told you that he abandoned you?
I just felt that way. He always tried to remain in contact with me.
Yeah.
He always did. But I felt abandoned because he went to another. He went, like, moved out west.
No, your mother convinced you that you need to go and apologize to your father for judging mm-hmm. him with your mother's judgment and so that you can return to him spiritually. And once you return to your father, your whole life going to change perfectly. You will never be able to forgive your husband until you stop resenting your father. And you only resent him with your mother's resentment. It's not even your own.
Okay. And I have to tell him exactly why I'm forgiving them, right?
Yeah, you have to apologize that you judge him based on your mother's anger. And you have to let your mother know why you resent her and forgive her. She can't help herself.
Okay.
Hold on.
I have to get some alpha in me so I can go do that.
Just as you cannot help yourself, they couldn't help themselves or cannot help themselves. And you don't have a right. It was wrong for what they did to you, but you don't have a right to judge them.
Okay.
And you're going to shake in your boots, but it's going to be last time you ever shake in your boots.
Okay. I'll call back and let you know how it goes.
And I hope so. And it's a big mistake to have gone back and told your husband you cheated.
I didn't tell.
Oh, how did he find out?
I think he went through my phone or something.
Oh, so you're not shot with your stuff either?
No, not at that time, because I thought I was so smart.
Right. Well, just as your husband cheated, which was wrong, so were you. And he does. Once you admit you were wrong, he doesn't have a right to judge you, and you don't have a right to judge him. It's often a cheat, though. Men and women who are married should not be cheating on one another. It's devastating.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. There's no reason for it. If you're going to do that, you might as well not get married. Right.
Right. So stop judging your husband.
I will certainly try.